Welcome in to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. It is just me. That's it. Diz is running the show in the background, but I don't have anything all quippy or anything like that to say because it's just me. There's nobody else to yell at. There's nobody else for me to insult. So I'm just going to get right into some of the Chiefs news. Thanks for joining in, everybody. I just want to get the Rashee Rice stuff out of the way. We do have an update for Rashee Rice. In the sense that he is now being sued in civil court. Multiple of the people who have been in the accident have now sought out counsel. He's being sued for over $1 million now. And we don't have any new information that has come out from the police department or anything like that. So the case has continued to develop. And like we talked about last week, you know, this is sort of what we're expecting. We're expecting to see, you know, more and more information slowly leak its way out. But this is going to be a process that's just going to be pretty slow. And unfortunately, when during the slow news time of the NFL, Rashee Rice is going to take over the news because he's on a high-profile team playing for the best quarterback in the NFL. And this is just the sort of information that's going to slowly eke its way out. And it'll be like that after the draft as well. Speaking of Rice and the wide receiver group, Andy Reid held his first press conference since, well, I think that's the first time he spoke to the media since after the Super Bowl. So let's just jump right into what he had to say. He had something to say about Hollywood Brown that I found was very interesting. I think it shows that he is going to be more versatile in the offense than I think we initially gave him credit for. So I think we have the audio for that. So, Diz, if you want to run the audio for...
Yeah, so Hollywood Brown is, you know, a good speed receiver. Excuse me. He can play inside or outside. And I stay away from saying a deep threat, although he can do that. He can play within the offense and do all of the different routes that we ask. So... he's a nice addition, and he's got some experience and production.
So all of that there, I think, keys into a couple of different things. One, I think that with him saying that he doesn't want to key him in as just being a deep threat, I think that means that he's going to work a lot in the slot. What does that mean for Kansas City? Well, I think that means a couple of things, that you're going to see him on the field and not just use like MVS was, right? We didn't see MVS line up in the middle of the field. We only saw him really line up outside. And to my knowledge and to my recollection, there's not a lot of routes that MVS was out there running other than deep posts, deep fades, and deep streak routes, right? That was really all that we saw, which was fine because when he was originally brought in here from the Packers to come and play in Kansas City, that was his role in the offense. He was supposed to stretch the field and be that down the field threat. And when Hollywood Brown was signed here, the immediate thought was, okay, you're replacing that deep down the field threat. Well, Andy Reid's press conference sort of puts that whole idea on its head because he's bringing up the fact that he's a guy that we can put in the slot. He's a guy that we can run in the middle of the field. This makes me think that Kansas City is going to try and utilize him in all sorts of different kinds of route combinations, including having him run over the middle of the field. So I think that's interesting. What that also means is that they are going to, when he's over playing the slot in the middle of the field, they need somebody that's going to have to play outside. Who is that going to be? I think that leads into a deeper conversation of, well, you could easily make the argument that it's somebody that they're going to look for in the draft, and we'll get to that here in a minute. I think that also means that maybe they're looking to use Kadarius Toney on the outside. I think I've made my opinion very clear about Kadarius Toney. I think that last year was really his shot to be a big impact on this team. And for whatever reason, it didn't seem to work out that way. But if you're still riding the Kadarius Toney train, you know, this is a good opportunity to continue to parade your way around and talk about how he could be impactful in the 2025 season. I also think that there's a chance that if they're going to use Hollywood Brown over the middle of the field, that this gives them an excuse, gives them a reason, gives them a purpose to bring back Mecole Hardman. Now, we know Mecole Hardman is still out there as a free agent, and he was acquired last year in a trade with the Jets and wasn't used really at all in New York. But as soon as he came back here, he was an impactful player on the field, including having the last touchdown pass of the 2023-2024 season caught by him. So if Kansas City is going to use Brown over the middle, you have that outside spot opened up. Why not bring in your guy that you have made multiple attempts now to bring back, bring into your system the first time, and then bring him back? You're heading into, you know, the Rice situation where the odds are he's probably going to be suspended. Have an opportunity to bring in Mecole Hardman, who you can have run some of those deep routes, simplify, you know, what you need him to focus on this offseason. And for at least part of the season, you know, you could use Hollywood Brown in multiple ways and still be productive in the offense without skipping a beat because you're using a Mecole Hardman in sort of that deep role. Maybe I'm stretching it. Maybe, you know, I'm stretching at straws here. I'm grasping for straws here. There's not a ton of information out there that this is the moves that Kansas City is looking for. But these squeaks around the edges is what Kansas City has to do, you know, in order to, you know, continue to use Hollywood Brown like that, right? If your goal is to not just use him as a deep threat like that, then, you know, you're going to need to fill some of these other spots. And that was just a thought that occurred to me earlier today that, you know, maybe this is how you end up bringing back a Mecole Hardman, if you end up bringing him back. Because it's not like he's going to be that expensive. Because if it was going to be expensive, another team would have signed him earlier in the offseason, and, you know, he wouldn't be looking to come back to Kansas City. So there is another audio clip. It's kind of long, so we aren't going to play it. But the gist of it is that Andy Reid talked about how there's going to be a competition at left tackle. Now, I think this also has a couple of meanings for Kansas City. One, Andy Reid is not really upfront about a lot of that stuff early on, especially when the only left tackle on your roster is Wanya Morris. So this to me means that Kansas City is looking to acquire another left tackle, which maybe in the back of your head you're saying, yeah, duh, they only have one on the roster. Well, I think it means that there are two options available to Kansas City right now. And I think their goal is to draft one in, well, the draft. And that's interesting to me because beforehand, I was kind of wishy-washy on what their plan was going to be moving forward at left tackle. I figured that Donovan Smith was still on the board and that if there's a guy available in the third or fourth round, you know, that they like, that they'd been following, you know, that's a player that they would be looking at moving in, having a competition at left tackle with Wanya Morris and seeing what you got there. The fact that they are moving, I still think to a certain extent that that's the plan. I don't think that Kansas City is going to be drafting a tackle in the first round. And I think that's just because the value to me isn't there, right? When you're looking at the 32nd spot, you know, you only have 20-ish players that are quote-unquote first-round grades, right? So when you're looking to draft a guy at 32, if you're a tackle and you're not a first-round grade, then you have, you know, significant flaws in your game, which is why, you know, it's fine. You know, Kansas City has gotten all sorts of guys to play tackle for them that have had flaws in their game. And, you know, so it's not necessarily a bad thing. I just think that the value, I just don't think is going to be there. And so whoever Kansas City ends up drafting a tackle, I think that they are probably just going to be a guy that ends up coming in the third round, the second or third round. So having that competition at left tackle at least shows me a little bit that they do trust Wanya Morris to a certain extent. That if they have to truck out there with Wanya Morris, that they do trust him moving forward. And I do think that that's a big deal because you don't necessarily have to bring back Donovan Smith. And I know that Donovan Smith was very good for this offense last year. He was a guy that outside of one hiccup in an injury and a couple of penalties, for the most part, Donovan Smith was a good tackle. I mean, he was a great pickup in the offseason. We spent a lot of time praising Brett Veach for what he did with Drew Tranquil and some of the other offseason moves that he made, those, you know, those moves around the edges that sort of tighten up a roster. Donovan Smith, I don't think we've given him enough credit and this coaching staff enough credit for bringing in an older guy, for coming in and being a successful tackle on a roster that had to go up against some of the better pass rusher duos in the NFL last year, and Donovan Smith was just fine. And that's what you need in Kansas City, is a guy to step in and to be an anchor and to not cause you problems. Because Kansas City is spending a lot of money on that offensive line, and it's not going towards the left tackle position. It's going towards your guard, your left guard. It's going towards your right tackle, and your other two guys are on rookie contract. So what are you going to do at that left tackle position? The fact that they were coming forward and saying that there's a competition there, I think it shows that they are fine with Wanya Morris playing at that position moving forward. It means that they think that he can win that competition. I don't think that if, you know, Wanya Morris is completely out of the question, I don't know if you answer it that way, but Kansas City's going to be making a move at left tackle. We know the draft is, what, a week from Thursday? So it'll be interesting to see when Kansas City makes a move at left tackle, but that's a move that Kansas City is going to be making, courtesy of basically Andy Reid straight coming out and saying that Kansas City is going to obtain a left tackle. All right, let's get into a seven-round mock. Thiz asked me to do a seven-round mock, and so I put one together. I've got seven players. All of them I like for different reasons. A couple of them we've already talked about before, but you know, they fell to me on the board, so I drafted them, and we can go ahead. And I'll talk about each of these guys, as, you know, not to beat a dead horse. Some of the guys I won't talk about all that much, but I do think that there are a couple of interesting ones on there, and then we will, I will talk about the final topic for today's show, which I want to get into Nick Bolton and what I think of his contract that I think is coming up. So, with all that being said, Thiz, why don't you run the mock draft for me? All right, so with my first pick, I did not trade in this draft. I thought that that would make it very complicated, so I did not end up doing anything like that. I picked the Texas wide receiver, A.D. Mitchell. He was one of the first guys I think that I previewed like early on in this.
Take care of the football down here. We're going to throw it on first down. They launch it one on one. Going up to make the catches. Added a.
So Mitchell, to me, you know, this is a guy. He has great route running skills. Very athletic. He is that quote unquote deep threat, right? So if Kansas City is going to look to draft him and move Hollywood inside, then I think that that is a dangerous offense that Kansas City could move forward. Look, there's really not a ton more that I could say at this point. If you're paying attention to, you know, who's potentially going to be drafted in the first round by Kansas City, Mitchell is probably the most mocked wide receiver, most mocked just guy to go to Kansas City in. So it's not a big surprise when you see that. You know, he had the least amount of drops in all of college football last year. I mean, it's pretty good. That's pretty much it. That's all I got to say. That's my deep analysis on Mitchell, is that he's pretty good. Second round pick, I went and I drafted Chris Jenkins, the defensive tackle out of Michigan. This is a guy that I know that I talked about early on in the process. This is a guy that I think anybody, when
Millen under duress and sacked, dropped down at the 41.
And when we were uncertain about the Chris Jones situation, this was a guy that I was really hoping Kansas City would look into getting. This is a guy that he comes from an NFL bloodline. His dad was a Pro Bowl defensive tackle. He played well against Alabama and Washington, some of the better offensive lines in college football. Great hands, is able to move up, get up in the quarterback's face like we just saw in that replay, right? We just saw him use his burst, use his power to get up into the quarterback's face. So this is a guy that has some serious, you know, pass rush moves as a defensive tackle. And just because
Barner out with a foot injury. And here's the run. Not a lot of room. As a matter of fact, Michigan defense swarming. Chris Jenkins leads the way as a loss of three.
See, we're in Kansas City. We're used to defensive tackles having pass rush. That's not the norm, right? There's only two, three, four guys in the NFL that can be considered pass rushers from the defensive tackle spot. And even though Chris Jones is back on this team, I am 100% on play for continuing to go and drafting guys that can put pressure up the middle. Every time we talk about pass rushers and it coming from the middle of the line, it's something that Tom Brady pointed out, that it's easy to step up in the pocket and to make a throw down the field when there's guys coming around, when you're getting pressure from the outside. You can't step up in the gap when you have a 300-pound man sitting in your lap. So when Kansas City is looking to add to that defensive line, whether it's depth or starter talent, I think Chris Jenkins in the second round is a serious option for Kansas City. I do think it's a realistic option. And I think that, like we've talked about during this whole draft process, that there are probably going to be a couple of guys available there at the defensive tackle spot that I think Kansas City should seriously look into, because getting pressure up the middle is just more valuable to me than getting pressure on the outside. And especially when you already have an elite pass rush with Chris Jones. So whatever talent you get next to him is going to have more opportunities to get after the quarterback, because you're going to be double teaming Chris Jones more often than not. So that's why I have Chris Jenkins. Even though Chris Jones is back, I do think that there is an extreme amount of value spending capital and improving a strength like the interior defensive line. Now, my third round pick. I don't think I've talked about this guy. He's a corner from Florida State. We've got Ronaldo Green. This was a pick that I made just because of the way the board fell to me. I was not expecting going in and drafting a corner, you know, right away in the third round. But this is a guy that I think that we should stay focused on, because he played against some of the better wide receivers in the in college football last year.
Jumpy, they need him to settle down. Let's see what he can do here on this next play.
Jump ball, sideline, on third down and complete.
He played against both Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. and played well against both of them. An athletic guy. This is he's sort of that pure press man, you know, corner right there. We just saw in that replay that Thiz showed, right, that he was up in the face. He was in the hip pocket of that wide receiver. So I think this is a guy that Kansas City, if you're looking to replace Snead, if you individually are worried about the depth at the cornerback position because you traded Snead, going after this guy in the third round, I think is a great opportunity to fill in the depth. Personally, I'm not all that sold that Kansas City needs to address the position in the third round, but similar argument I made with drafting a defensive tackle in the second round, I'll make here, is that just because you have a strength of the position, you know, doesn't mean you should continue to go after it. I've continued to make the argument that there are three positions that I think Kansas City should draft every single opportunity, that I think every single draft you need to be drafting these three positions. It's corner, it's pass rush, and wide receiver. And this is just an example of going after and making sure that you add depth there, because you know that you're always going to have to add cornerback depth. Because you're not going to be able to go out into an offseason and sign a big name cornerback free agent. It's too expensive. And once you get, if you get McDuffie to a long-term contract here, that's especially going to limit your resources and into the room there. So if you can start to develop your own guys like you have up to this point, right, get your own guys in the room, develop your own cornerbacks, especially guys that have the ability to get up into the face of some of these wide receivers like a Jamar Chase, then you can go out and continue to be successful on the defensive backfield. So that's why I went after a corner in the third round, even though I don't think go CB round one, to answer your question there, because I do think that the depth at the position is there, right? But going after them with a top 100 pick is still a viable option for me. Being able to draft a strength You know, Kansas City has shown the ability to develop their own guys, but you're able to go after players that you know can fit into your scheme. And I do, Kansas City loves their physical corners, and that's what he is. My next, speaking of pass rush, I go after another pass rush defensive lineman, this time on the outside, out of Alabama. We've got Justin, and I don't even, man, I'm going to mess this name. Ibodike? I don't know. The defensive tackle slash edge rusher outside of Alabama. This is a guy that if you are concerned about Felix and Udike Uzama's development, I think this is somebody that can come in and do it. This is not a full-time starter. This is not a guy that is going to be a four-down pass rusher. He is a solid guy, but that can be a rotational piece. And you need guys like that in the NFL, right? That you can get solid careers just by going through and being a, you know, playing half the snaps in a football game from being a pass rush perspective, right? It is an extremely valuable position in the NFL, and Kansas City could always use more of it. Any team can always use more of it. He can play, like I said, on the outside. He can play on the inside. I would say that he lacks some of that, like, short area quickness. And if he gets locked up with an elite tackle, I do worry about his ability to get outside of that. So he's really one of those one trick ponies is probably the best way to describe it. Now you can always get better, right? You can always move on from that, learn from that. Just because you come into the NFL, you know, with only one pass rush move doesn't mean that you can't get better from it. But, you know, if you're worried about what FAU offers, and the only people that know what he has is inside the Chiefs room right now, then going in and getting another pass rush, someone that can play all around the field, you know, to me is a great spot, especially when you're talking, you know, in the fourth round. Now you're moving out of those, you know, top 100 picks, right? When you start to get into the fourth and fifth rounds, you have to become realistic with the expectations that you're getting from these guys. If we're being honest, top 100 picks, you're expecting them to be significant starters or significant contributors, I should say, you know, within the first year of their NFL contract. Once you get past that top 100 round, right, the fourth round pick for Kansas City is 131. Any contribution that you get from these guys is kind of just plus money, because there's a reason why they've fallen so far back in the draft. And that's why I think that having a guy like that, you know, all you're asking for is for him to be a pass rush guy when you need him to be. And that's just fine. And you would be happy. You would be happy with that from somebody with pick 131. My next pick here, this is another guy. I don't think we've talked about him. Maybe we have. It's the Notre Dame linebacker, J.B. Burton. This is a guy that Kansas City needs to replace his linebacking, right? We have made a point on this show to come out and say that one of the things that from good team-building perspective, one of the things that you can't do is go into a draft with a significant need. You can't go into the draft being like, we have to draft this one position in the first round because otherwise we are screwed. Kansas City has done a very good job by not pigeonholing themselves into drafting one position. However, with the loss of Willie Gay and with the loss of other guys, you know, potentially moving forward, right? We know that at some point Nick Bolton is going to get a contract. You know, maybe it's this offseason from the Chiefs, maybe it's not. So you need to start to looking at opportunities for replacing him. Or this year, Kansas City had injuries in the linebacking room, right? Both Nick Bolton and Willie Gay at separate points during the year missed time. So you know that you need depth at that spot. This is an opportunity to sort of bring in that next guy and see what he has. He's a very athletic linebacker, right? He was a three-year starter at Notre Dame, which is impressive. This is a guy that has, you know, great, what's the phrase, that knack for the football? That's the phrase that people use, right? He's very good at finding the football. He always seems to be around the play. I would just say that He doesn't have great angles, and sometimes he just doesn't seem to have the range as some of the other guys. So while he is a very good athlete, it does seem that when he misses his opportunity to get the tackle, it doesn't seem like he can catch up to it. So you know when he messes up, it's definitely more visible because he lacks that elite athleticism to go out and get him. But if you're out there, you know, day three with him, Kansas City could use that opportunity to go and improve the linebacking core. I will say this, and your third, fourth linebackers are more important now than they were last year. And that's because of the new kickoff rules. So Kansas City needs to invest in those spots more because you're going to have more run backs than you've had in years because of the new kickoff rules. I think you're going to want to have more linebackers and corners and safeties on your special teams than you will, you know, fifth wide receiver type guys, because the NFL is encouraging more kickoffs now than they have in the last 10 years because of these new rule changes. So I think it's important to keep that in mind when you're talking about bringing guys in, especially in the late rounds, because you know that the contribution that they're going to give is going to specifically be from special teams. And that's why I think finding a linebacker, you know, in the fifth round is an opportunity for Kansas City. All right, Diz, moving on to my next pick, which is Jalen Simpson. We've got an Auburn safety is what he's recognized as, but he played a lot of corner in college too. So this is an interesting situation that Kansas City finds us in, right? This is another guy that when I was going in the draft, I wasn't looking to find another defensive back. I wasn't looking at going and finding a safety for Kansas City to go in and replace, but when I came across his stuff, I didn't realize that he played a lot of corner and safety as well. And one of the things that made Snead and McDuffie and what made Chamari Connor stand out to Kansas City was the versatility around the NFL, or the versatility around the NFL football field, right? These guys played safety and corner all throughout college, and now you're having them in the NFL, and what do we know Spags loves to do? Spags loves guys that can play all around the field. Those positionless safeties, those positionless corners. You can play in the slot. You can play on the outside. You can play true, deep safety. You can play in the box, right? And I think that's what a Jalen Simpson brings to the table, is that because he's already played so many positions from a college football field, from Auburn, right? From like a NFL talented style defense, Kansas City can use an asset like that moving forward. You can always use guys like that. I'll move back to my point I just made about, you know, needing guys in the kickoff game. You're going to need guys like that who can go and make tackles. One of the things that comes out of his, and Thiz just showed this on our replay there, is that he kind of has a knack for the football, right? He's a kind of like a, I don't want to say like a Marcus Peters, because in Chiefs minds that brings back, that has a negative connotation to it now. But in the sense that he's an aggressive corner safety guy, right? This is a guy that will take risks to go after the football. And one of the things that Kansas City's defense has struggled with, I use very loosely, one of the things that Kansas City's defense has struggled with is going and getting turnovers and getting interceptions. And this is a guy that goes after the football to go and make those plays. Sometimes it's at a detriment, right? You're going to miss. When you go and you try and hit the home run ball, you're going to miss it. But you can go and you can get some of those interceptions. And one, getting a turnover is the most valuable thing a defensive player can do, right? It's like hitting a home run in baseball. It's simply the fastest way for you to make an impact on the team right away. And getting turnovers is the best thing a defensive back can do. So if you're putting him out there, and you're not expecting him to be, right, the main coverage guy. You're not expecting him to be, right, the guy with the green dot, as it were, right? Because You've got other players that are more experienced on the team. If you're telling him, hey, I just need you to play the back safety, you know, I want you to play that robber role, I want you to just go and sort of cause havoc, and you're asking him to do that, I think that that's a perfect spot for him. We know that if you're moving Snead off this defense, we need somebody to turn into that, you know, blitzing safety corner guy. Shamari Connor, I think, is going to take that role off just fine. But I think that moving in another young guy into that defensive backfield, a guy that's versatile, a guy that has different skill levels than what's available on this team right now, those are the kind of guys that you're looking to get. You want to diversify the guys that you have in terms of their skill set, so when you ask somebody to do something, you always have somebody available to do it. That's why I went out and I drafted him. I wasn't looking to draft him. He sort of just fell on the board when I was doing it. So I went and I snagged up the guy that has sort of that high floor, high ceiling kind of guy, right? The guy that can go out and just make big plays, even though that he may burn you a time or two throughout the season. My last pick, this is a guy that I think I talked about most recently. I know I talked about him because I gave my philosophy for drafting small college running backs, and JP thought it was ridiculous. So this is Isaiah Davis from South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits, with the final pick in the draft, pick number 221. I think I've made my point to me. This makes complete sense to me. First of all, he's from Joplin. I don't know if you guys
knew that. Climbing up all the all-time charts. A pitch to Davis with Miller, the center, pulling out there. And here goes Davis. Down, and they're going to call him out.
Isaiah Davis, to me, is just a great athlete. This is a guy that when you're a running back, your production is based a lot of what the offensive line is capable of doing. It's what the offensive line, the holes that they can make, and where you're able to go from there. Now, obviously, players still have to go out and make plays, and that's why running backs are given the football. But if you're going to a big school, if you're from an Alabama or an Oklahoma or whatever big name school that you have, and you have 2,000 yards from scrimmage, well, yeah, it's because for a lot of these games, you have your offensive line is just so much more talented than the defensive line you're going up against. Of course you're going to have these huge holes. Of course you're going to be able, you can drive a truck through some of the holes that these offensive lines are providing for you. So, you know, when you talk about the production that these running backs have, it is so offensive line driven that I don't even want to look at what the production for some of these elite college offenses are, because I know what a lot of it is driven by. So I want to look at some of the smaller schools, or not necessarily smaller schools, just schools that don't have the top tier offensive line talent, right? It's what I thought was so smart about going and drafting a guy like Purdue, you know, in the seventh round. Why it's been so successful for Kansas City is because we saw that Isaiah Pacheco, the success that he had was driven by himself and not by the team around him. That's why I like going at
Jackson Yonke motions in. Davis with plenty of room trying to make a move at the 20. Does inside the 10.
That's why I like a guy like
Jackson Yonke.
It's going out and getting a guy that is in charge of his own production, going out and getting a guy that you can see from the film that it is on him, right? Yes, his offensive line is blocking for him, but it's not the past the line of scrimmage stuff. All of that is his. He's very physical. He's not afraid of contact. He can run away from contact. My only problem with him is simply that, you know, he's got a lot of tread on the tires, but let's be honest, if you're a, you know, number one running back in any college offense, for the most part, you've got a lot of tread on the tires already, so I don't think that makes him unique. And you're not looking to draft a number one running back at this point, right? Isaiah Pacheco is your guy moving forward. You need to bring somebody in because we know that Pacheco got hurt last year, right? That shoulder injury seemed to nag him for quite a bit. I mean, he had to have surgery on it. So this is a guy that I think that bringing in, you can have him as your change of pace back. I know they brought back Clyde, but using a seventh round pick to try and find that next, you know, running back, I think is a great opportunity for Kansas City to go in. If you're spending a seventh round pick on a guy that will be your third running back on the roster, And even if he doesn't get a ton of carries this year, that's not a waste of a pick. If your seventh round pick makes the roster and you're a good team and he makes the roster, it's a good pick. We got to make sure that we have our expectations, you know, on the right level. Not every seventh round pick is going to end up to be, you know, a starter like an Isaiah Pacheco. But if anybody does, I think Isaiah Davis is the guy. My other thing about getting a wide or getting a running back in the room here is I'm not sure how much longer we can depend on Pacheco to be completely healthy. I brought up earlier that he had that shoulder injury. We know that he runs physical. It's one of the things that we all love about Isaiah Pacheco. You know, we've got the he needs to apologize to the ground when he runs because he's running so angry, right? That sort of mindset, that sort of running style, you know, can lead to some other injuries. So sort of bringing in another running back to just helps ease the situation to where if there is something smaller on Isaiah Pacheco's plate, if he has an injury that, you know, technically he could play through, but, you know, why would you push it? Or maybe he hurts himself on a Sunday and the Chiefs have to play on a Thursday, you know, with the quick turnaround. Don't push it. We've got Isaiah Davis in our back pocket. We know that he is a competent running back, so let's just come in and bring him with him. And the final thing I'll say about him is that they used him in the passing game. And I will die on the hill that one of the reasons that why Clyde was not as successful as he could have been in the NFL is because he was not used in the passing game in his rookie year, and that part of his game never seemed to develop. So if you're going to bring in another guy, if you're going to bring in a running back that has experience outside the backfield in the receiving game, do it early. And let's get him involved in the offense at least a little bit early so we can see what he has out of that. And that'll wrap up the running back room. And I think you'd be happy if your three guys were Pacheco, Clyde, then you've got Isaiah Davis. And then I know Denarik Prince is still sitting on the roster. As he was on the practice squad all of last year. You know, maybe he makes a mark if Kansas City feels that they need to keep a fourth running back. But if that's your running back room moving forward, I think you should be very happy with it, and you should expect good level of production to come out of that room, especially if Clyde is going to play more the McKinnon role, and he's really just going to be used pass blocking a couple of runs, and that's it. And then you use your Isaiah Davis or whoever as an actual running back, you know, to actually run the ball. So that's my seven-round mock. I'll say the biggest thing I'm missing from it is that I didn't draft an offensive lineman. I do think Kansas City drafts a tackle. If you missed earlier in the show when I talked about the competition at left tackle that Andy Reid brought up, I do think Kansas City uses a third-round pick or sooner, a top 100 pick at a left tackle. I also think that Kansas City may be in the guard market as well, because you either need to pay Trey Smith or you need to move off of him. And if you're able to draft a guard, right, to replace Tooney or Smith, now is a pretty good time to do it. Kansas City's been very good about getting a year ahead of their problems. So I think Kansas City could also be in the guard market. I think everybody who's been a frequent watcher of the show, I'm a big Cooper Beebe fan out of K-State. When you see somebody pancake two guys in one play, you've sold me there. So, and I, getting a guy like a Cooper Beebe in the third or fourth round, you know, that would be a good move for Kansas City just to sort of build that depth. But you need at least one offensive lineman. To me, it doesn't really matter if it's a tackle or a guard in terms of the depth there. You just need somebody, because this offensive line did take a hit in the offseason. You lost some of your backup pieces to different teams around the NFL. So, yeah, I do think that it'll be important for Kansas City to get some help there. We all know what it's like to have and not a great offensive line. So we never want to talk about that again. So that's my draft. Let me know if you guys have any comments or thoughts about it. But with that, the last thing that I want to talk about today, it actually sort of wraps up the whole draft conversation, sort of just puts it in a nice little package, is what you're going to do with Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey. Next year, right? The 2025 offseason. Both of these guys are going to be up for contracts. What are you going to do with them? And I bring that up because what you do during this draft is going to tell you what the Chiefs' plan for them moving forward is. Let's talk about Nick Bolton, right? I talked about how Kansas City may be looking to draft an interior middle linebacker, potentially to move off of Nick Bolton, right? We know they just signed Drew Tranquil to a longer deal, so they have their linebacker of the future there. If you look at their numbers and age, Nick Bolton and Patrick Queen are pretty comparable. I think that Nick Bolton has been a better linebacker, but for argument's sake, I think that they've been pretty comparable. Their tackle numbers are on the same pace, right? I bring up Patrick Queen because he signed a 3-year, $41 million contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so it got me thinking, is that what Kansas City should be using as the benchmark for Nick Bolton? That comes out to about $13 million a year. It makes him the fourth highest paid linebacker, interior linebacker in the NFL. So it goes Roquan Smith at $20 million, Fred Warner at $19 million, Tremont Edmonds at $18 million. Then you've got Patrick Queen at $13.6 million at fourth overall. If Kansas City can get that 3-year, $41 million for Nick Bolton, I think that that's a number that you can live with. I think that's a number you can continue to build a team with, right? Because I don't want you to invest in a position like middle linebacker. And if you spend $18, $19, $20 million for a middle linebacker, I think that you're going to hurt yourself in the future because that deal will prevent you from making another more important at a more valuable position on your defense, right? That's why that 3 years, $41 million, and inevitably some of that, you know, some of that's funny money. It's not all fully guaranteed. Patrick Queen got $13.8 million guaranteed at signing with an $11 million signing bonus. So he's still got a pretty good chunk of change, but that Patrick Queen deal is really more of a 2-year deal that they can get out of in that third year. So those are the kind of contracts that I think Kansas City might be looking to sign Nick Bolton to. If they draft a middle linebacker this year, I think that makes the case of keeping Nick Bolton even more difficult. So just keeping an eye out on what Kansas City does during this draft, I do think will tip the cards of what Kansas City is looking to do in the future, right? I made the argument all last offseason. I said that the Chimari Connor pick was a sign that Kansas City was not going to re-sign Snead, right? So when Kansas City makes moves like that, they are tipping their hand into what moves they're going to make in the future. Which makes me move on to Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. If Kansas City drafts a guard, and not a project guard, I mean a guard that Kansas City can, you know, basically plug and play now, then I think that Kansas City will be moving on from either Trey Smith or maybe they'll be looking to move on from Tooney. Just to get out of that big contract. If Kansas City is drafting a center, then you can basically kiss Creed Humphrey goodbye, right? Because all of these guys are coming up in contracts, and you just need to make sure that you're preventing yourself from being in the situation to where you feel like you have to sign a guy to a long-term deal, even if you aren't fully convinced that the money there is going to be worth it. For the record, though, I do think that they keep Creed Humphrey because top center market money is not all that much. And so even if you quote unquote overpay for your center, you're not really spending that much money at the position. And so I think it's fine. And you can afford to pay top center money and try and cut salary, you know, when inevitably Joe Tooney gets off of his $20 million a year contract. So I think Creed Humphrey is here. The Nick Bolton one is very interesting to me. If Kansas City doesn't spend a higher pick, on an inside linebacker, I'm definitely feeling that you can convince me that he's going to be here long term. If Kansas City drafts an inside linebacker, I might start the Nick Bolton is gone bandwagon. We might be starting that up, but we'll just have to see when that comes around. So that's my 7-round mock. 10 days before the draft starts. That's all that I have for you guys today. There's not a ton of actual news coming out other than the Rice stuff that I covered earlier. I'll be back on Thursday. I know that I'll be back on Thursday. I think Caleb will be back, and I'm not sure about JP. But at the very least, you got a show with me, the guy that is right more often than not. So, you know, hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for watching. If you are watching on any other platform other than YouTube, if you could go and subscribe to our YouTube page so we could bump up those algorithm numbers, that would be fantastic. For now, this is our Tuesday show. We will see you back on Thursday.